think life is worth living. So that's good. It's a good thing. And so anyway, that was in spite of the illnesses that were flying around in the household where we were, it was still a great time to be with our friends. And some of you have met Jim and Joanne when they were out in the spring from Kansas. And so that was great. So now we're looking forward to this year. Someone was suggesting maybe they saw someone picketing winter and thought maybe it was a picture of me. And while I could be one of those people, I'm not. And, you know, I just think today is one of these perfect weather days, you know, 70-some degrees. It's great for me. I know the rest is coming this week, and I've already been reminded of that. But so we're coming into this new year, and as we mentioned earlier, this is a kind of a family still visiting, so people are away and doing all that kind of stuff at Christmas time, and there's been some illness overnight, so some people aren't going to be able to be here today. So we're the full contingent for today on the 4th of January. This 11th Christmas, so tomorrow is the 12th day of Christmas, 12th night. And so if you still have gifts that you want to buy and give to people, etc., I mean, this is a good time to do that as we come to the end of the Christmas season. We're getting back into some regular stuff again this week, we hope. Men's breakfast, we've been kind of all over the map, but I think we're going to be back on track on Wednesday morning at 7 for those guys who are able to get up and come and join us here at the church. That would be great. Wednesday evening, I think we're back on track for our home group at Garth and Janice McDonald's. The address there, if you'd like to join us, just talk to us afterwards, and that would be a great thing to do. So there's a huge pile of brown paper grocery bags stacked up out there. That's really great. So we'll be getting those out to the food pantry here in the next little while. So that's what we've got going on this morning. So we'll take a break for a few minutes, grab some more coffee, and got to finish those donuts up. And then we'll come back and see what the Lord has for us from the Word. So you're shaking something. Oh, we're going to take up an offering and fill out our Connect cards. That's right. I'm not used to doing this anymore, so that's right. So we have Connect cards. If you would fill out the yellow card that's in your bulletin and give us a record of your time with us this morning, that would be great. And if as the offering is passed, and then we'll take a 5-minute break and then come back for a message. Kids are going to probably go to class, and we'll see you in a few minutes. On the back of your bulletin, there are the notes for the message this morning, the gifts of this new year. And I was reading in Ephesians, and I was struck in the first chapter of what we've been given to prepare us for this year and to encourage us for what's ahead of us in this new year. And we never really know what is ahead, and we don't know what life is going to be filled with. And just got word this week that my aunt on New Year's Eve passed away, and in Canada, in Prince Edward Island. And when she was a little girl, she had rheumatic fever, and it quite did a lot of damage to her heart. And so when she was getting married, she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Well, whatever you do, don't have children, because your heart is not strong enough to handle the stress." And she had come from a good Catholic family, and the idea of being married and not having children was definitely not on her radar screen. And so when she died on New Year's Eve, besides her 92-year-old husband, she left 7 children, 19 grandchildren, and 17 great-grandchildren. And at 90 years old, I think she ran a good race. So you never know what life is going to hold for you, but she was She was a great, always the encourager. So it's going to really going to leave a major hole there in that household. So, all right. So this morning, the gifts for this new year. Let's look at the paragraph that I've written here, and then we'll go into this. Knowing that our God is the Alpha, the Creator, resolves many issues over which the science community continues to stumble. But even better, I think, knowing that our God is also the Omega, as we are launched into another new year, has the potential to set these next 12 months in a radically different perspective. The eternal Omega has already fully investigated our 365-day timeline, and abundant provision is strewn amongst the events, like confetti in a ticker tape parade. He's as ready for December 31st, 2015 as he is for today. Everything is unpacked and waiting for us. And I got that image of the ticker tape parade and just all the events that are lying out ahead of us in these next 12 months. It's like God's already walked through them all, and he's already made provision. He already knows what's going on. He already knows what we have to deal with. And he's already taken his provision, and just like confetti, he's just kind of thrown it everywhere. And we were while we were in Kansas, we went to a concert. Our friend's grandchildren had a band who was playing at a coffee shop, and so they were singing all kinds of Christmas music, and at one point elves or Christmas fairies or whatever they were supposed to be came through the audience, and they had multicolored confetti that they were flinging everywhere through the audience into coffee cups and into hair, and it was all over everywhere. It was quite a mess. Pretty, but it was a mess. And I hate to be the one who had to clean all that stuff up. But, that's kind of the way our year is before us. It's a total unknown for us, and yet God has already walked through it because he's eternal. He's not stuck in our timeline. And so 2020 is every bit as known to him as this year is. And so we can have that confidence that we walk into this year and God knows everything that's ahead of us all the way through to the end of the year. But as we read through Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, now we'll just take a look at eight things that I think we can be confident of as we come into this year. So let's read what Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we read through this letter, let's look at this as here's God's provision. Here's what God has set up for us, and specifically for 2015. Let's look at it in that way. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. This is just some incredible stuff here. So let's just go through. I just picked out eight. There are a lot more that we could probably look at in here. But Number one, the first thing I think that is ours that we can be confident of is that there are treasures. There are treasures set out for us. Paul refers to them as spiritual blessings. But I see them as treasures. Those little, have you ever done a treasure hunt as a child? And things have been like hidden, especially when we're really little. Things were always hidden for us in plain sight. I mean, they were intended to be found fairly easily without frustrating. And God intends for us to find, and we will find, evidences of his having been there ahead of us as we go through events throughout the year. And so treasure is different for different people. You know, when one man's trash is another man's treasure, as we often say. And a few months ago, I went to the mailbox, and in the mail, there was a copy of a magazine called Golf Digest. And for those of you who know me, you think, well, that's really pretty funny. Why would anybody send you Golf Digest of all disinterested people? But when I looked at it, it wasn't just random. It was my name. But then I looked on the little tag, and it says expiration September 2015. I'm like, a whole year's subscription? Who did this? I mean, Jeff's not here, so I don't know who else would do this. But I think it's, you know, so anyway, everyone's had a good laugh over the idea that I'm getting Golf Digest, and now I'm taking it into the gym and giving it to the guys in there that are interested in golf. But, you know, it's like, I'm not really sure whether the company just decided maybe we'll send Don a year's subscription and maybe he'll take up golf. So far, it hasn't really worked. But, you know, someone made the decision. And if, you know, I think someone kind of wasted their money maybe. But anyway, so I'm getting these magazines through September of this year. And but it's just like one of these little extras. And maybe for somebody that was really into golf, that would have been a major treasure. Wow, someone gave me Golf Digest. How cool is this? And so God intends for us to have cool things that we discover. Little things, little evidences of his goodness. One of them happened to us on Monday on the way back. I was still not in great shape for the flight back. And when we flew out to Kansas before Christmas, we flew through Charlotte, and our flight into Charlotte came into Concourse E. We were on one of these little puddle jumper flights. But our flight to Kansas was out of Concourse B. Well, I don't know if you've ever run from the end of Concourse E all the way through to D and then C and then B and then all the way to the end of B. But it was a long stretch, and we ran the full thing. We even ran on the moving sidewalks to get there because we had 40 minutes. And so it was a little tight. On the way back, because I was really not in very good shape, and I thought, there's no way I'm going to be able to run today. So as it would be when we rescheduled our flights, the flight out of Kansas was a little flight this time, a smaller plane than we came out on, and it was actually going into Concourse E. I think we were coming into E26, and we had to fly out of E31, just like five gates down. And so, to me, that was part of the treasure. It was just this little sweet thing. It was like, I cannot do a 25, 30-minute run through the airport. And so, five gates, I could handle that. That took 5 minutes. So, but God intends for us to discover as we go through events, and we all know the year is going to be filled with all kinds of great high point experiences and events, and some lower events, and some trying events, and whatever. And at each point, we can anticipate spiritual blessings, things that God has said, you know what? They're going to need this. They're going to need this encouragement. They're going to need the scripture verse. They're going to need someone to give them a word of encouragement, to smile, just to be there, to take care of something as a surprise, or, you know, send them a gift in the mail or whatever. There's going to be a series of things that God has prepared for us, that he's already set out like a treasure hunt for us to discover throughout the year, and we can anticipate that. Number two, I'm calling this one that we can anticipate healing. Healing, not so much just physical healing, although that's a blessing in itself, but in the sense of wholeness, becoming integrated, getting healing from psychological things and from emotional and relational healing. And that comes to me when I read, knowing that we were chosen in Him. We were chosen to be a part of Him. We were called out. So He brought us out of this place in the desert, this place of lostness, where we were lost in our sin. And He brought us out, and He chose us in advance, long before we actually came to walk our 70. God chose us. And so because He chose us, we can know, going through the 12 months of 2015, that regardless of what else happens to me, I know that God chose me at creation. He chose me, He knew me, He called me by name, He already knew me, and He chose that I would be His. And so as we go through the trials and temptations and stresses of 2015, we can have this sense of wholeness or healing in our bodies because God has chosen us. It's something He's already done. It's a set thing. It can't be undone. It can't be taken away from us. And there's a great confidence that comes in saying, all right, regardless of what the circumstances are, this is mine, and the world didn't give it to me, as one song says, and the world can't take it away. Number three is belonging. In our day and age, belonging is a really important thing. And Paul uses the word adoption, which is a powerful image in itself. But the sense of belonging, that He has adopted us according to His pleasure. It's something that brought Him great joy to choose us, to bring us up and out of our sin, and to make us His, that we would belong to His family. And so again, when we're feeling alone, abandoned, isolated, when the enemy is lying to us that there really is no place for us, we can have this assurance that we do belong, that God has made a place for us. He has made a way, and He has caused us to be a part of His family by this adoption that He has done. He has sent His Son in order that through Him we might come to the Father. That's what Jesus said. There is no other way to the Father but by Me. And so we've been adopted. There is this sense of belonging. I do belong. And when we're alone, that sense of belonging is a critical thing to hold us through. Number four, I'm calling this favor. Number four is favor. Paul refers to it here in this letter to the Ephesians as His grace, His abundant grace, His glorious grace even. And this grace, this favor, it's like God sees us with Jesus-colored glasses. We don't deserve it, but He just looks at us, not rose-colored glasses, that doesn't quite do it, but He sees us with Jesus-colored glasses. He sees us as what Jesus has made of us, and He sees the finished product of the sacrifice of His Son, the shedding of His blood for us, and He sees us through that lens, with that perspective. And so He doesn't see us as we see ourselves in a mirror. He sees Jesus in between us, and as He looks at us, all they can say is, boy, you look so much like Jesus. You remind me so much of my Son, and that just makes me so happy. And we have a hard time believing that when we look at ourselves in the mirror some mornings. It's like, oh my gosh, could someone turn the light off, please? But God looks at us and sees Jesus. And so it makes Him favorable toward us always. He wants to give us of His grace. He wants to pour that grace on us where we should be, you know, we should receive anything but that. His attitude always is toward us one of grace and wanting the best for us. And we somehow, because of these glasses that He wears, it makes Him smile when He looks at us. And I love that image. Number five is love. Jesus has come for us to communicate the love of the Father. The world, all the problems of the world come from a misunderstanding of the Father's love, and not a rejection of the Father's love or a confused image of the Father's love. And when we understand who Jesus is, we understand what Jesus has done, we find resolution for the problems of the world. So all of the nightly news, all the newspaper headlines, the news magazine headlines, etc., would be resolved when we come and we recognize who the Father is and the relationship we have with the Father. Then all the anger and the hatred and the bitterness and all the rest of the stuff that we deal with worldwide will be there and will be taken care of. And so as ambassadors of this love, those of us who've received this love, one of our jobs, one of our responsibilities is to reflect Jesus to the world. And Paul says to the Corinthians, we've received this treasure in earthen vessels. And it's on purpose. God chose earthen vessels, these plain clay pots that we are, because they don't reflect anything. But when people see plain clay pots, try saying that three times fast, reflecting glory, they'll recognize, you know what, this glory did not come from the pot. The glory is God's glory. And so on purpose, he chose us the way we are so that when we reflect God's glory, the world sees this is Jesus. This is the work of God. This is an amazing thing that we carry around in us the love of our Heavenly Father, who's shown us his love through the Holy Spirit, who confirms it through the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we are able to live in that and live out of that position of being loved. And that carries us through all 12 months of this year. And number six, I don't know, one is better than the other. It's kind of hard. They all fit together like fruit of the Spirit kind of thing. Number six is forgiveness. Wow. Forgiveness of sin. We're all aware of our sin. We're all aware of the places that we really mess up and where we don't do well, where we haven't done well, where we've been disobedient and rebellious and all of those things, and self-willed and all of those things. And yet we have the confidence as we come into January 2015 that we walk with an ever-present forgiveness of our sins. And so again, we go back to the parable of the prodigal who, in the midst of the worst of his sin, the worst of his rebellion, the worst of his embarrassment of his father and his family, chooses to come back prepared to grovel for a place in the barn. And he is overwhelmed in the mess that he is, in the smell that he has on him, and all the evidences of the world and the debauchery that he's been a part of. And the father runs to him and hugs him and kisses him and prepares a feast for him in the midst of the worst of it. That's such an overwhelming picture of the Father's love. At our absolute worst, the Father doesn't stand off, arms crossed, going, "You miserable excuse of a son." No. Jesus' image of the Father in those situations is the Father ecstatic, probably in tears because he's so excited to see his son again, runs, grabs him, and while the son is trying his best to give this rehearsed speech about he's no longer worthy to be the son, and if I could just have a corner in the barn, and the father is not having any of it, he's not hearing it, he's kissing him, he's hugging him, he's holding him back to get a better look, and then he hugs him again, then he keeps kissing him again, and the son never really gets through the story because the father's preparing a feast and he's already got new sandals and a new robe and a ring on his finger to show that he's still the son. What an absolute crazy story about prodigal love of the Father. This way overly generous love where the Father just says, I don't care where you've been, all that can be forgiven now. You're home again. That's all that really counts. That's all I've really wanted is for you to be home again. And so let's not talk anymore about the past. Let's just move on toward the future and let's enjoy this feast together. So we walk into the beginning of this year before, well, we're 4 days in, so we may have messed up a few times in the last 4 days, but there's a good chance at least. So the thing is, as we come into this year, regardless of what we do, we know, and this is why it helps us to avoid some of those things, because regardless of what we get ourselves into, the Father is going to be that prodigal son's father, the prodigal loving father who says, soon as you turn your attention back to me, I'm there. I'm ready to take you back. I'm ready to hug you and kiss you and prepare a feast for you. That's phenomenal. We can't fail. We can't fail because God has done it all. He's already been there. He already knows what we're going to do, and he's already made provision for it. And number 7, clarity. Paul refers to it here as wisdom and understanding. All wisdom and understanding in verse 6. He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. So God intends for us to understand what his will is, what his purposes are, what he intends for us to do. He doesn't want us totally in confusion, wandering around, have no idea what's going on. God is a God of order, and God is a God of peace. And that word shalom also means wholeness. Pulling all the different elements together, the pieces of like a jigsaw puzzle coming and all fitting together. God wants to be a God of peace for us and a God of order. And as he does that, that brings clarity. He puts the pieces together, and all of a sudden, we can see what the picture is and not just scattered all over the place like 1,500 individual pieces, but as they all come together, we see what God is doing. He intends for us to know what he's doing, and so we can have confidence in the things that we're doing. He really wants to communicate that to us, and probably that's part of the treasure. He communicates to each one of us in a different way. Not many of us actually see writing on the wall. Actually, this is writing on the wall up here, but the type of God's finger writing on the wall as he did in the Old Testament. But sometimes we dream things. We see a vision of things. Something grabs our hearts and stirs us, and we just say, what is that? Where is that coming from? Or we're sharing with someone, and all of a sudden they just say a phrase that means... It's one phrase among many, and yet somehow the Holy Spirit grabs that phrase and just applies it to our hearts, and we're like, I think God just spoke to me through that. Wow, that's really cool. So God intends to do those treasure things to us through a song, through all kinds of things that he can use, and he has unlimited resources to do that. But that's part of the treasure that's lined up for us this year, to give us clarity. And so it isn't always a word coming out like, thus saith the Lord. Sometimes it's just through all kinds of the simplest things that something will click, and we'll just, in our hearts, we'll just know that God has spoken and this is what we're to do. So he intends for us to have clarity and not walk in confusion. And then the last thing that we'll look at this morning is the inside track. Paul talks about the revealed mystery. Everything was a mystery, and yet he's revealed it to us. He's made known to us what he was about all the time, what he's always been doing, what his purpose was, is to show his love. Nobody would have believed it if he had done it, and they had a hard time believing it when Jesus came. This is what God is intending? I don't think so. Sending a baby... No place to even be born. It's kind of in a cave or something where animals are. I mean, that doesn't sound like much preparation went into that. So, I'm kind of a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants kind of person sometimes. And as you know, Sue is very much the let's get this organized. What does this mean? What do we need to do? How can we contact these people? How do we prepare for this? And the level of details kind of makes my head spin. But you'd think God, being perfect, he would have organized it in such a way that it would have been flawless. And yet, as we look back at the Christmas story, and we know that God is perfect, as far as God was concerned, that was a perfectly orchestrated event. That's exactly what he wanted to happen. The people who heard the news first were exactly the people he wanted to hear it first. These magi, these men coming from the east when they arrived, all of that, and going to Herod and then having to trick Herod by going home another way and not going back to tell him where they found the baby, all of those kind of things, that was perfectly orchestrated. That's exactly what God intended. All of this about why God sent Jesus the way he did, when he did, to do what he did in order to do this inside-out work that we were talking about earlier this morning, all that's the purposes of God. God's working it out. Who would have ever imagined that, you know, we probably feel like maybe we're a random group here this morning. There's nothing random in God's economy. He knows exactly what's going on. He knew we would be here today. And he loves us. And it's not like, I mean, he's a lot nicer than Big Brother. You know, God loves us and he orchestrates good things for us. And he loves to give good gifts, his word says. And so as we, here are these eight things that I think if we want to kind of, you know, there's so many things that people use as reminders. You know, the Jews sometimes have the, I forget what you call that they bind on their heads when they, with the strap, or they bind on their wrist. What is that thing called? Phylactery? Yeah, the phylactery. Yeah, that word. And, you know, but some people use symbols, and, you know, and I don't mean them like a good luck charm, but, you know, Keith was mentioning this morning that everything points to the cross. Everything points to this work that Jesus did. And so, you know, I think it'd be great if we are going to be messed up this year, if the enemy is going to try to get in and confuse us and get us off track. You know, one of the things is that symbol of the cross. A lot of people wear a cross around their neck on a chain. You know, I think if that can remind us when we're in the middle of temptation and trial and the enemy is lying to us, if we can just be reminded, you know what? No, that's not true. There are treasures ahead of me. There's healing. There's belonging. There's favor, incredible favor from God, his love, his forgiveness. He intends for me to understand what's going on, and that revealed mystery is mine. If we can use something like that to remind us, or a bookmark, or even, you know, at those really tense times, to just draw a cross. Just take a pen or a pencil, just draw a little cross on a piece of paper somewhere near us. And in some church traditions, they make the sign of the cross on themselves to remind themselves of God's presence. And with all our heart and with all our soul, with our mind and all our strength. If we can use whatever we need to remind ourselves of what has already been given to us as we make our way through these 12 months, wow, I think we would be transformed. I think we would be so excited to recognize that there are gifts all along these 12 months. Sometimes there's pain, sometimes there's sorrow, sometimes there's frustration. But none of those things can take away from us what God has chosen to give us. And all of these good gifts are ours in him. So I want to encourage us this morning that since none of us knows what this next 12 months brings, at least we know that it brings these eight things as a very beginning, and many, many more beyond that, because he is the giver of every good and perfect gift. So as we pray this morning, let's remind our souls that this is what we've been given in God. And regardless of what our circumstances are today or what they'll be next week or next month, these things will not change. We can be confident of them. Let's pray together.